Good morning and welcome to week 5 of the Florida League of Cities legislative call-ins. Thank you for joining us today. For those new to the call-in, we start the call with each of the lobbyists discussing the key bills they're watching and working on this week and where we need your help on the advocacy front. Once the lobbyists have shared their updates, we will open the call for questions. If you'd like to ask a question, press *9 on your phone and you will be added to the queue. As a reminder, the call is being recorded and we will send an email summary out in addition to the recording later this afternoon. Please note, it's not possible to cover every bill during a 30-minute call-in. For a comprehensive list of bills, go to the League's website, hover your mouse over the Advocacy tab. About halfway down is the Bill Summaries link, and you can click on that and see every bill that the League of Cities is watching this session. All right. We look forward to seeing about 300 city officials in town this week for our legislative action days. It is a short, long week or a long, short week, one of the two. Monday and Tuesday are fast and furious on the House side, and the Senate extends into Wednesday with several committees meeting. So there is lots going on this week. We look forward to seeing folks in town. But with that, I'm going to kick it to David Cruz for our first update.
Thank you, Casey, and good morning, everybody. Have two pairs of bills to talk to you about this morning. I'll start off with the bad news and then move on to the good news. First up is Senate Bill 1346. The House counterpart to that one is House Bill 1317, for those of you keeping score back home. So Senate Bill 1346 is going to be up this Tuesday at 11 a.m. in the Senate Environment and Natural Resources Committee. And for our coastal communities, our cities near Florida's coastlines, this is a bill that you should certainly be paying attention to. The bill deals with the local regulation of non-conforming or unsafe structures. The Senate sponsor, Senator Avila, and in its current posture, the League of Cities opposes this bill. Under Florida's current law, the building code preempts us on the ability to reject a permit for the demolition of a building unless that building is on a historic registry that the city government has placed it under. So this bill goes into that section of law and would preempt us on the ability to stop the demolition of a building permit request if that building is in a has been historically designated by the local government. The bill does not apply to buildings that are under the National Registry of Historic Buildings, and the bill does not apply to single-family homes. So essentially what we're left here is commercial buildings that have been designated by the local government as historic. If that building were to be half a mile from a Florida's coastline, be located in a flood zone, and fails to meet new construction requirements under NFIP for new construction, then a local government could not reject a demolition permit to tear down that building. And a second preemption that's located in the bill, the local government would have to automatically allow for a replacement structure to be built on that premise to the full and maximum zoning that that parcel has been zoned for. So you could not, for example, require that a replacement structure be built to the same size and height of the previous structure. You would have to allow for the maximum zoning that's available on that parcel. And so that is Senate Bill 1346 up on Tuesday in the Senate Environment and Natural Resources Committee. So then on to the good news, or a pair of bills that we are supporting. That is Senate Bill 718 by Senator Yarbrough. And that bill is going to be considered on Wednesday in the Senate Governmental Oversight and Accountability Committee. This bill deals with contraction and annexation. Contraction is basically another name for de-annexation, and essentially this bill provides some much-needed clarity that we realized we needed after a recent second DCA court case dealing with a citizen-initiated de-annexation that was requested by some citizens that wanted to leave a city. Essentially, the bill would provide some clarity in what's required in a feasibility study. But most importantly, the bill gives the governing body, the City Commission, the ability to reject a de-annexation request as a legislative decision of that body. And so this would essentially allow for a city to make a legislative decision to reject a de-annexation request that's been citizen initiated. So we support that bill. That's Senate Bill 718. And the House counterpart is House Bill 653. The House bill is not moving this week, however. And with that, I'll go ahead and pass it over to Jeff Ranch.
Thanks, David. Good morning, everyone. This is just informational purpose only. As you remember last week, House Bill 671 by Representative Esposito dealing with residential building permits was heard and passed along party lines. The Senate Bill 682 by Senator DeSigley, which is his first reference is Community Affairs, is not up this week. We believe that this is the last week that Community Affairs will meet. And so informational purposes only, the bill is essentially, air quote, dead, but obviously things can change as we progress. And so I just wanted to put that on your radar as an informational purpose only as we get down to the last few weeks of session. And with that, I will hand it over to Rebecca.
Good morning, everybody. Like Jeff, I just have some information to give you this week and in the form of good news. So first of all, House Bill 975 and Senate Bill 798 relating to solid waste appear to be mostly dead, like in the Princess Bride movie. They are not on the agenda for House Civil Justice and not on the agenda in the Senate Environmental Committee. So we can kind of put those in the column of being mostly dead. So that's good news. And I'm convinced that it is attributable to all of the letters and emails and all of your engagement on this issue. It really made a difference. So thank you for that. And then on another positive note in the mostly dead category is the Municipal Utilities Bills 1331 and 1380. That's 1331 and 1380. These are the bills that would have limited enterprise fund transfers and cut the allowable surcharge for extraterritorial service in half. The bill is not on the agenda in the Senate Regulated Industries Committee this week. It is unlikely to be on that agenda. It is also not on the Commerce Committee agenda in the House, the House Bill 1331. However, the House is planning on moving ahead with the bill and will probably agenda the bill for a Commerce Committee hearing after Easter. And so we're going to keep an eye on that one and be prepared in case it gets resuscitated and the Senate decides to engage and play with the House on this issue. But so far, for right now, it's good news and we'll take it as such. Thank you. And with that, I'll turn it over to Tara.
Thanks, Rebecca. And good morning, everyone. Two bills to put on your radar for this week. First up tomorrow in the Senate Commerce and Tourism Committee, Senate Bill 752 dealing with temporary commercial kitchens by Senator Catalude. I will probably not say that correctly. But what these bills do, it's preempting the licensing, registration, and permitting and fees to the state for those temporary commercial kitchens, basically adding them into the same regulatory structure as food trucks that currently exist. The bill does clarify that a local government has the authority to regulate the operation outside of the licensing, permitting, registration. Good news is there is an amendment filed to this bill that would add time limits to what temporary actually looks like and how far these can stay in certain locations. So that is a positive change in that bill we are watching this week. Also up this week, Wednesday morning, in the Senate Governmental Oversight and Accountability Committee, Senate Bill 998 by Senator Burgess dealing with police chiefs. This bill prohibits the termination of a police chief without first providing them written notice, including just cause, and giving them an opportunity to defend themselves at a public meeting. So that one we are opposed to. Those are the two bills for me. I look forward to seeing everyone this week, and I will pass it over to Charles.
Oh, good morning, everybody. Just to keep one bill on your radar that is up in Wednesday in Community Affairs at 8:30 a.m. in the Senate, and that is Senate Bill 1604 dealing with land use and development regulations by Senator Angolia. we've reported out on this bill a couple of times, and to mention that it was a very complex bill is probably an understatement. But the good news is that Saturday, an amendment was filed that removes about 95% of the things that we were worried about in that bill. So we don't want to do a victory dance just yet. There's still a few things that we're working on in terms of the bill. What it would do is to expedite local governments' submissions of comprehensive plans and give them a 10-year and a 20-year planning period. The bill goes even further to name out a variety of different breach and cures just in case there were third-party challenges to the comprehensive plan submittals, or if the state were to delay the approval of those submittals because they found issues with the submittal as far as noncompliance, or perhaps the state had just been dragging their feet a little bit and hadn't pushed through that report back to the local government. The last thing that the amendment does is it still contains language that is concerning related to architectural and design review boards. It has a sunset date of January 1, 2020. So we're still going to be working on those types of issues as this bill moves forward. But just please stay tuned. Again, that's Senate Bill 1604, Land Use and Development Regulations by Senator Angolia. And with that, I'll kick it back over to Casey Cook.
Thank you, Charles. All right. So now we're going to transition into the question and answer phase of the call. If you'd like to ask a question, you'll press star 9. When it's your turn to speak, you'll state your name and your city. All right, first caller.
Hey, this is Trish Pfeiffer from Bartow. How are you guys?
Good, Commissioner. How you doing?
I'm good. I'm driving up, but I do have a question. First of all, thank you for all your updates. Appreciate it. We're a little nervous on a couple of them, but you know, we'll see how it plays out. But I wanted to know if you had any report on the Main Street bill.
Main Street bill. It was heard earlier in session and has made it through the House. I do not believe the Senate companion has made it through its respective committees as of yet. But we can follow up with you following this call, and I can give you a more detailed report.
Okay, I really appreciate that. Pulling for Main Street. So thanks so much, and we'll see you this afternoon tomorrow.
Thank you. All right, next question.
This is Bob Allard from the town of Indian River Shores. Could I get an update on HJR 405, the prohibition on open primaries and nonpartisan elections?
Sure. That's short and sweet. The bill was filed. This is the proposed constitutional amendment to require closed primaries and partisan local elections, partisan city elections. That bill has not been heard in any of its three committee references. The other important thing there is that there was no Senate companion filed, and so we feel good about that bill this year.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Well, last call for questions. We look forward to seeing everybody later this afternoon and tomorrow here in Tallahassee for our Legislative Action Days. This is the halfway point of session. I think Thursday of this week is day 30, and bills are dying every day. And so with your help, we can make a difference on all these key bills that we're working on and watching and reporting on. We look forward to seeing you when you come to town. Have a good day.